Discoveries dominate big science headlines. Think cancer drugs that shrink tumors or new materials that revolutionize batteries. What happens, though, when an experiment fails? WHYY's Jessica McDonald looks at an unsung journal of negative results.
Not associated. No effect. Evidence against. These are not words that typically make it into the published scientific literature, but they are all over the titles of papers in the Journal of Negative Results in Biomedicine. When Harvard cell biologist Bjorn Olsen told his colleagues about his idea to start the journal about 15 years ago, the response was not encouraging.
They were laughing. And I laughed with them.
But the more he thought about it, the more it was clear that such a journal was necessary. They might not be sexy, but negative results, findings that don't support a scientist's hypothesis, are hugely important. Olsen says, in fact, negative results are the only ones that can provide definitive proof.
In the end, you can only prove that the hypothesis is wrong by getting the negative data that force you to discard it.
Most famously, in 1887, a pair of scientists by the name of Michelson and Morley couldn't find any evidence for the prevailing idea that light waves traveled through a substance called ether. The result paved the way for Einstein to develop his theory of special relativity. In recognition, Michelson received the Nobel Prize in Physics. Kudos for failed experiments, however, are few and far between, and many don't even get written up.
Only about a half of all randomized controlled trials reach publication. So that means that people have enrolled in studies and have agreed to be tested using different interventions, and that knowledge never reaches the public domain.
Kay Dickerson is a professor at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. She's been studying publication bias since the 1980s. The biggest advance, she says, isn't a journal. It's a database that most clinical researchers seeking FDA approval must use.
The data that's in clinicaltrials.gov is better than what you would get in a publication. It's in a standardized format. It's and so you know what you're getting because it's required. There can be less missing data and so forth.
Compliance has been an issue, but it's a step toward getting all results, especially if a new drug didn't work, out in the open. That type of even-handed reporting, however, doesn't apply to basic biomedical research, the initial discoveries that get mined to develop new therapies. And for Glenn Begley, the chief scientific officer for the Malvern-based biotech company Tetralogic, that's a problem.
It distorts the reality so that we think something is more positive than it really is, simply because the negative results are not available for everyone to review.
Begley previously led the hematology oncology research program at Amgen, another pharma company. Frustrated by the high failure rate of cancer drugs, he decided to see how many landmark preclinical studies the group had been able to replicate over his decade of working there.
Of the 53, 47 were unable to be reproduced either by Amgen scientists or by the investigators themselves.
Begley says he expected some discrepancies. He was dealing with finicky biological systems, after all. This estimate, though, suggested that 90% of the literature was wrong.
Well, honestly, I was shocked with this finding.
He says it's a big part of why drug development is so slow.
The job is hard enough as it is without taking false leads and wasting time associated with that.
Diligent reporting of negative findings, of course, won't solve this whole problem, but it could cut down on the number of labs squandering resources only to discover the same dead end. It could make science faster and more efficient. How exactly to get there? Enter metascience, the science of studying science. Daniele Finelli is a senior research scientist at the Metric Center at Stanford. He's looked at how frequently negative results are reported in each scientific discipline.
When you move from the physical to the social sciences, you see the proportion of positive results reported as opposed to negative increasing, and increasing very dramatically.
The top offenders, psychology and psychiatry.
With around 95% of all studies declaring to have found a support for whatever they were testing.
Finelli says this suggests to him that there are different reasons, specific to each field, for why negative results don't generally see the light of day. For biologists and geneticists, it could be not taking the time to write up a paper for a failed project. For social scientists,
it is more that researchers have many degrees of freedom within their theories and methodologies to build the study that will produce the results they expect.
Both are problematic, but require different remedies. As for specialized journals for negative results, Finelli says it doesn't hurt. But obviously, if finding an outlet was the only problem, they should be swamped with submissions. Bjorn Olsen, the Journal of Negative Results in Biomedicine editor, says he gets hundreds to thousands a year, not much compared to the top-tier journals. But he says he's pleased with the progress.
I think that if this journal, by existing, can get people to think differently when it comes to what should be published in science, then I think it has been successful.
I'm Jessica McDonald, WHYY News.